can't get to know him just from praying just once a day at night. I can't get to know him just by picking up my Bible on Sunday, reading only the scripture that I told you to read on Sunday morning. That's not going to happen. You won't get to know who he really is. You won't get to know the intimacy of God unless you really read his love letter to us. That's what the Bible is a love letter to us. Okay, all right. So this confrontation, God, Jesus confronts him. And let me tell you something. If you got some enemies and you're trying to do the thing the right way, if you're doing if you're in the church, then whoever it is that is your enemy, God will confront them. You don't have to.
Amen.
Praise his name. Saul was an enemy to the church. And Jesus said, if they're persecuting the church, that's me. Yeah. How's that? How's the church him? He says, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, I don't even know who you are. How could it be that I'm persecuting you and I don't know who you are? You see, and some people don't know who you are. They don't know the Christ on the inside of them. The Bible tells us that Psalm, it tells us in 100, it says that we are the sheep of his pasture, right? So we become sheep. Now, you got to know, and I want you to listen to me clearly. You got to understand the progression of a Christian. You got to understand the progression of those that believe in God, because he doesn't intend for you to stay sheep. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. He don't intend for you to stay sheep because he wants intimacy. And if God said in the law that it was that it's illegal for a man to be with an animal, you know what I'm talking about. And then neither will God be intimate with an animal. If you're a sheep, you're still an animal. Y'all stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Y'all stay tuned. And so we got to stop. We got to go from being sheep to becoming the bride.
Amen.
So what happens when you become the bride? The marriage is consummated.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
And when the marriage is consummated, that means two become what? One. And if two becomes one, then you go from being the bride to becoming the body.
Amen.
And then if you become the body of Christ in the earth, why are we looking for him to do it from heaven? And he said, I empowered all of you to do it on earth.
Amen.
He said, in my name, you shall speak with new tongues. In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witnesses in here that said, I need to do what he said do in order that I may be able to do the greater works than these? So he confronted him. He said, I blinded him and I talked to him. See, sometimes God got to put you in a blind spot so he can talk to you. You're too busy being religious. We're too busy trying to do it our own way. We're too busy thinking that we right about everything. And ain't nobody right about everything. Tell somebody, you ain't right about everything.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Sing. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to do something a little different today on this Father's Day. We want to celebrate dads, and if you'll just help me for just one moment, all of the good fathers, all. Now, why y'all laughing, huh? You act like ain't no good fathers in the house. All of the fathers who are deserving of this salutation and celebration, all of the fathers, both those who are present and have passed on, all of the fathers who have impacted your life and made your life what it is, all of the fathers that you can look back and say, I am who I am because of him. All of the fathers that are deserving of this thunderous applause, let's give God a big praise for dads. Come on, come on, come on, let's give it to them. This is to God for our fathers, for dads, all over the building. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I want to do one more thing. I want two men, two fathers, two married fathers with children, because I want to do things decently and in order. I'm going to read from Psalm 128, and it's not but six verses, but I'm going to take two this morning. And I want a father to come to the stand and read verse one and another father to read verse two. I want you to participate in the message this morning. Some volunteers from back in the audience, back in the audience. I don't want leaders. I don't want ministers. I just want great dads, two of you. Can you find two in the house? Well, let me put it this way. If you don't come up and read, I ain't preaching. So you can take as long as you want. All right. God bless. We've got one. We're going to wait on the other one. We're going to wait on the other one. We got two. Praise the Lord. Come on, give these dads a big hand. Psalm number 128, verse 1, one dad will read, and verse 2, the other dad will read.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Psalms 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
Praise the Lord. Give those brothers a hand. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak from the subject, Happy Father's Day every day. Happy Father's Day every day. I love this word. It's not but six verses, but they are packed with principles and laden with truth that any father who wants to get himself together can look at and find a roadmap in these six verses. Now, we celebrate mothers in a magnanimous way, and rightly so. It's no wonder that on last year, Americans spent $12.3 billion celebrating Father's Day. It is estimated this year that they will spend $13.3 billion on gifts for Father's Day. But Mother's Day 2013, Americans spent $20.7 billion on Mother's Day. The average Mother's Day gift cost $169. The average Father's Day gift is $117. I can continue on with different statistics that show how mother is praised and celebrated, and fathers have fallen behind. There are several reasons for that. One of the reasons is that most fathers aren't present. Even if some children wanted to give their fathers a Father's Day gift, they wouldn't know where to find them. Mothers pull double duty. They're mother and father. They're there constantly, consistently, for the ups and downs of children's lives. And fathers are missing in action for the most part. When we look at our world and we see the role that God intended for fathers to have and how the enemy is dismantling the family because father is not in place. And so it's hard to celebrate somebody who's not there. It's hard to celebrate somebody who is supposed to be the breadwinner and is supposed to be the provider and is supposed to be the disciplinarian and is supposed to be the role model and all of the different things that his role entitles him to, and he forfeits all of that. And as a result of that, most mothers have to pick up those duties and do the best that she can. We want to make sure that as fathers, godly fathers, or those who desire to be godly fathers, good fathers, would understand what is required of them. And there are so many principles all over the Word of God, but tucked in Psalm 128 in these few verses are some helpful holy hints. And so when we look at them, I want us to pay close attention to them, especially the men who are fathers, young men who plan to be fathers. What must you focus on? I'm glad you asked. The first thing that you must focus on is your faith. Your faith. You see, it's important to understand that before you can have a real relationship with anybody else, you have to have a great relationship with God. Amen. See, once it's right with God, when it's real with God, God will lead you, guide you, direct you, show you, reveal to you all of the things that you need to know and the ways that you need to go so that you will be able to lead, guide, and shed light on the things of those who God gives to you, commits to you, and have in your family unit. And so you've got to make sure your faith is right. We look at a church and so many times mothers and children come to church and fathers are at home. Now they're the heads of the house, the priest of their house, and the priest chooses not to come to the house of God and let his family go. Well, that's half good because some priests won't even let their family go to church because they're so messed up. See, whether or not you acknowledge or accept your role, it is still your role by God. Still your role. And that's why men need to be strong in the Word of God, strong in the things of God, be leaders spiritually of their families, to be able to cover their families and to trust God for what God's Word said concerning them and their families, to be able to demonstrate faith, activate faith, operate in faith so that he can demonstrate to his family how a faithful father operates. Many times there'll be shortages, many times there'll be troubles, many times there'll be problems, many times there'll be dangers, but they need to see a father in operation in faith, speaking those things that be not as though they were, taking charge over the devotion and leading their family into the ways of the Lord, making sure that there is a balance in life for the family. And all of this comes as a part of the responsibility of the father who must have faith in. Blessed is everyone. Everyone that feareth the Lord. Feareth. It means a constant fearing of God. What does this word fear mean in the Old Testament? It means reverence and respect. See, a father's role should always be one of reverence and respecting God continually. There are just some things the father said, no. I'm not going to do that because the Lord said. And listen, if the father won't do, nobody else in the house should. If the father sets the precedence that this is the way it's going to be done because the Lord said this, and he places God on a pedestal and he lifts God's word up as the reigning and ruling power in his life, then the family sees that and knows that he's a God-fearing man, not just by what he says, but by what he does. And so it makes clear that not only do they fear God, but it says that walketh in his ways. Walketh in his ways. What is so important about walking in his ways? Well, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It didn't say the steps of a preacher are ordered by the Lord. It didn't say the steps of a deacon are ordered by the Lord. It said the steps of a... Now, a good man can be a preacher, and he should be. A good man can be a deacon, and he should be. But the baseline is it's got to begin with being a good man. A good man. They are ordered by the Lord. By the Lord. By the Lord. That means his way is the Lord's way. You have to hear before you can heed. And if he's walking in the ways of the Lord, that means he has to know God's word, to know what direction God wants him to go. You see, God leads the father who leads the family. And so his steps are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. And when you begin to understand that the walk is so important, because some folk can't hear what you say by watching your walk. Anybody believe that? You don't believe it, say one thing and then get out there and do another and watch don't folks say, and he called himself a preacher. He called himself a deacon. Ain't no business, got no deacon, got no business out there in the ballroom unless he's witnessing. But you can't witness with a bud in one hand and a Bible in the other. It messes your walk up. You can't be in here one way and then out there another. No, nobody's perfect, but there is a difference between blatantly disrespecting God, walking in disobedience, and doing whatever you so choose to do. And so the walk becomes that reinforcement of the talk. You talk the talk, then you walk the walk. And so the walk is important because what it shows first is God, your faithfulness. But then secondly, it shows your family faithfulness. See, a lot of people know how to follow God from their fathers and their mothers. Not from the preacher, not from the Sunday school teacher, not from the deacons, not the deaconesses, but from their own family members. Many of them learn how to pray, again, from father, mother, not from the outside entities. And it's sad that your child learns how to pray first in school instead of at home. It's sad if your child learns about the things of God in other places when the first place they should learn is at home. Now, the father plays another role because verse 1 talks about his walk, but verse 2 deals with his work. You see, a good father works. Some sisters say, like, stay right there, preacher. Stay right there. Stay there. I felt it in my spirit there. A good father works. Now, I mean, understand there are many times, many kinds of work, but again, the end result is a good father works. All right? And all of the work doesn't have to be physical labor, I mean, but it still sums up as work. And what is important about this word? Because he says, you shall eat the labor of your own hands. You're going to be happy, and it's going to be well with you. Now look at this. First of all, a faithful father must be in the right work. Because to be in the right work means it provides a minimum of two things. And that's why fathers have to be faithful to God, have to make sure that they line up with God so God can lead them in the right area of labor to provide for their families. See, some men are on jobs that they ought not be on. God didn't lead them there, but it brings in a paycheck. But that paycheck is not sufficient to do what needs to be done. And something is wrong with the picture if God leads you in a vineyard and can't take care of you there. See, if I get up and go to work and do my part, then the job that I work on should sufficiently supply my needs and that of my family. If it does not do that, then either I'm in the wrong place or I'm not doing my best. And so we need to be prayerful about where we put our hands to labor at. Because not only do we put our hands to labor there, but we also are a testimony to where we work at. And so when we work, men, heads of households, fathers. Listen, it is so that we can provide the best for our families. The best. Some fathers work two jobs to make ends meet. Sometimes three jobs to make ends meet. And sometimes they do more than that to make things work right and to give their families the best. But listen, all of it must be in gravity. Because listen at this. Why give your family the best material things when you've not given them the best spiritual things? See, as a father, you must provide clothing for your children. But there's no law on this earth that will put you in jail if you don't put them in designer clothes. A $30 pair of sneakers in good condition, the right size, is honorable by the law. I ain't got to buy you no $200 pair of shoes when you don't deserve it. Are you hearing me, somebody? Clean clothes that fit well, look nice, I can get them from the Goodwill. I don't have to go to the Gap and to all of these other places and buy you special clothes. But if I do that, I expect that you're going to honor me and your mother and do the right thing as is laid out in the word of God, because I do have to take care of you, but I ain't got to give you the best. Somebody's saying right now, oh, Lord, preacher, just stay right there. Stay right there. I'm going to help somebody understand that all things work together. And in the family unit works together. My mom used to tell me all the time when I was growing up, baby, your job is to make good grades in school. She used to tell me, she said, mama works hard enough for you not to have to go out there and do this and do that and other. You focus on your grades. I want you to know, she was a teacher, though. So she was like, I want you to have good grades. Why? Because they will take you far. Don't just go to school and eat the lunch. I know some people have a problem with school lunch, but I happen to have had an affinity for school lunches. As a matter of fact, I was first name basis with the head lunch lady in every school I went to. Especially when they made lasagna and all that stuff like that, they save a little bit for me and I pick it up after school. Yeah! Don't make me go back and think about all of that. That's right, I'm gonna hold on to that. And when you understand, my brothers and sisters, that there must be a balance in the family unit. First thing the job must do is be profitable. Profitable. It doesn't make sense to work on a job that doesn't take care of you. That's obviously not the best God can do. You do what you have to do to make things work, but you don't stay there. You work, and folk with good sense usually get another job before they quit a job. I just want to throw that out for free for some brother talking about, see, baby, I'm quitting tomorrow because the pastor said. No, don't lie on the pastor. He did not say that. You get you a better job before you quit your job. You'll discover you go back to that old job begging on hands and knees to try and get it back if you can't find nothing better. You've got a responsibility. You've got to do what you've got to do, but you should always be striving to get the best, to do the best, to be the best. And so it should be profitable. Say profitable.
Profitable.
But not only should it be profitable, the word says that you ought to be happy. And it shall be well with thee. And that means that the job should provide peace. You don't need just profit without peace. Fathers, you need peace underneath the skin. And you need to make sure that peace abides in your home. And if you're warring on the job and warring with God because there's no peace on the inside and there's no peace on the job, then there ain't gonna be no peace when you get home. Matter of fact, if things are chaotic when you get home, they ought to know peace done come through the doors. And everybody, from mama on down, start lining up. Baby, I'm glad you home. And I'm like, Daddy, I'm glad you home, Daddy. That's the children. They get ready, they act right. And everybody won't tell Daddy because they know Daddy is the peacemaker. Peace in one way or another. It will be peace in the valley for me. And the father's rolling. We laugh and we're, you know, I mean, enjoying the moment. But the truth of the matter is, this is the role of the and the responsibility of a godly father that God has placed upon the shoulders of a father. It's no easy thing to be a godly father, unlike a worldly father, because of the high and exact standards that God sets for the father. And how can he work right if he don't walk right? And God expects your faith to be aligned with his word. He expects that you will honor his word and walk in his word and lead your family into a place where they are blessed because of you. Blessed because of you. Everybody in the house is blessed because of a godly father. And my brothers and sisters, may I say to you this day that as the godly fathers in our homes are doing their jobs, are living up to the standards, we need to honor them as God said that we should. It's no easy thing to be a godly father. It's no easy thing to be a good father, especially in these days. And to have one, we ought to be most appreciative to God. for the gift that he's given in fathers. Happy Father's Day.